Chapter 4. Then, looking upwards, he saw immense ranks of heavenly messengers, flashing with exalted brilliance, and of the holy humans, going before and flying as if they had wings environed by an immense scintillation, surrounding him and driving far away all the threatenings of fire and demonic terrors. He saw two venerable men of the province which Fursa, the man of the Lord, was from. Seeing these, whom he believed had died, who were prelates, preeminent in the remembrance of everyone, even up to our time, they came nearer to him, and they declared their own names with friendliness, which were called Baoan and Meldon, and they began to talk to him. Then he beheld a great serenity in the heaven, and two heavenly messengers returning to the delight of the heaven, entering as though by a door. And around them burst out a very great brightness, and, as it were, four choirs of multitudes of heavenly messengers were singing and speaking.
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts.
Then his soul, intent on the sweetness of the supreme melody and the sound of ineffable joy sounding beyond the heavens, flashed out. And surrounding him were ranks of heavenly messengers, standing even at his right hand, unharmed in feeling, divided of undivision. He heard and saw the words of the heavenly messenger. Then the holy heavenly messenger, standing at his right hand, said,
"Do you know where this joy and happiness is from?"
He responded,
"I do not know."
The holy heavenly messenger responded,
"At the Supreme Convention, where we are from."
Then his mind forgot all the labor and tribulation, for he heard the supreme songs resonate more brightly and melodiously, and he reasoned that they were singing for himself alone. Marveling, he related,
"It is a great joy to listen to these tunes."
The heavenly messenger of the Lord said to him,
"We are often deprived of this hearing because of the ministry of human dispensation. And what we labor to announce, the human demons destroy, corrupting the hearts."
And again, the heavenly messenger of the Lord said to the blessed man, who was intent upon hearing the heavenly tunes,
"Never in this heavenly kingdom is any sadness raised, except on account of the perdition of humans."
Then he beheld the aforementioned priests coming toward him, proceeding from the secret place of the heaven. But they were radiant like heavenly messengers. And they directed him to return to this age. But at this news, he was silent and stunned by sadness. In a moment, he was returned to the holy heavenly messengers who were bringing him back. But the aforementioned men requested a space of time to talk with him.
"Why do you fear? It is but a one-day journey which you shall labor. Therefore, declare to all men, preaching that vengeance is near.
The blessed foresay, question them about the end of the world. They related,
"This time is not the end of the creation as though it is near, but the human race is to be vexed with a famine and a deadly pestilence. It is decreed that even as a sign, the sun shall hide its rays for 1 year, shining continually in the manner of the moon." There are two manners of famine. The one is a famine in the abundance of wisdom, understanding the word of the Lord and being filled by it. But the other is a hardness of mind, in the abundance of riches. But they are both generated by one root of bitterness. For as a greedy man is not satisfied with money, because the bitterness of greed does not enjoy the sweetness of the goods which he has already obtained, lusting after those which are unlawful. Even so, souls filled and held back by the bitterness of evil are not satisfied with the sweetness of the word of the Lord. Truly, death is held back for a time because of the patience of the Lord. But whoever sees these signs or disdains the admonishments of a holy writing, if he does not have a change of mind, death is near to him. And although the divine admonishments already threaten those who despise the Supreme Judge, yet he is primarily wrathful against teachers of the assembly and princes. For the souls of faithful men perish through the enticing vices of this world, through the suggestions of the militant slanderer, through the negligence of teachers, through the bad examples of depraved princes. For teachers who study the books of the prophets ought to understand and recognize the manner of this present time. For men are in the middle of this work, because by the mercy of Almighty God, some have obtained the grace of generosity, but are slippery with unrestraint of the flesh. Truly others, indeed, are chaste of body, but are desirous with the tides of greed. Others also have the grace of gentleness, but are feeble-souled with rancor of soul. However, others do not recollect their injuries, swiftly pardoning them, but by guarding their hearts less cautiously and being more swift to anger, they provoke quarrels. Therefore, truly others, because God has given largely to each of them glory in this, as though they had acquired this by their own labor. Truly others have overcome what they are attacking with a watchful heart, and yet have failed to conquer in the perseverance of good works. There are also some who are attacked by spiritual vices. Neglecting these, they afflict their bodies with abstinence for the sake of the mere word, esteeming the vices but nocturnal illusions or venial crimes. For that pride which cast down the heavenly messengers from the supreme heaven, they compute to be nothing. Nor do they denounce the greed which expelled the first human from the delight of the garden, nor the envy by which Cain the parricide killed his brother Abel, also the false testimony by which the Savior was condemned. Nor do they denounce blasphemy. They do not consider how many and great vengeances have settled over those who do similar things. Many indeed, although they abstain from food which God has created to be taken with thanksgiving, take the following impious things almost as if permitted. That is, pride, greed, envy, false testimony, blasphemy, by which they tear as it were the flesh of a neighbor, eating it with his blood. And what is lighter in the judgment of God, they judge to be graver, but they think the graver things lighter. Therefore, every teacher ought to prescribe suitable medicines for each vice. For he who considers these vices to be lighter than gluttony and sexual immorality is to be judged an enemy of souls rather than a teacher. Therefore, the cure for pride is public reproof and frequent humbling in mud and ash. Truly, for greed, the medicine is dispensation of generosity to all men. Envy is medicined by benevolence of kindness. However, false testimony is met by humbly confessing to the man whom he committed the false words against, and by seeking pardon from him. The evil of blasphemy is healed likewise by medicine, by humility, subjection, and refraining the tongue from all useless speaking, and by perseverance in prayer. For contrary vices are healed by contrary virtues. It is not enough to afflict the body if the soul is not healed from malice and wickedness. Therefore, princes and most Christian teachers of the assembly ought to call forth the minds of the faithful to the medicine of a change of mind from their sins, and should make them strong again by the spiritual fodder of teaching and by sharing in the sacred body and blood. They ought to excommunicate those who are unwilling, lest they incur the guilt of condemnation by neglect. They ought to plant the elm for the vine, and the alder for the olive. Yet they esteem earthly and unfruitful labor more than love, which is recognized to be the root and summit of all good works. The Lord is angered against teachers who neglect the divine books, who are pursuing the cares of this age with all delight. For if by reading they had understood the sayings of the prophets and him who had been resurrected from the dead, they would have brought more fear and pricking of the heart to the hearers. But there is no one to prohibit nor propel. For king and priest, each according to what is written, does what is right in his own eyes. Truly, the cause and root of all evil is pride. For a people rises up against a ruler, an allotted one against a priest, a monk against an abbot, children against parents, youths against elders. By being proud, they imagine diverse things. But in the same way that each one of them, subject to a prelate, has not learned to display the obedience of humility, so by the just judgment of the Lord, none of them shall be humbly subjected to him as the prelate of others. And whatever another unjustly sustains by his proud behavior, he shall hurtfully suffer the same by the other through the strict justice of the judge. Therefore, the evil of pride, which subverts and ruins even the supreme congregation of heavenly messengers, ruins the present age, confusedly perverting it.